This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. Stand by, Murfreesboro. The WGNS Action Line continues a search for truth.
I know you're out there somewhere.
Good morning to you. Welcome into the Action Line from WGNS. This morning we're talking with Murfreesboro Police Chief Glenn Chrisman, and a beautiful day out today. Glenn, good morning to you.
Bart, good morning. It is a beautiful day out there. The sun's shining. There's a little bit of overcast, little clouds, but I think it's going to be a pretty day today. Maybe some rain coming for the next day or two, but certainly nothing like we had on Friday. And very fortunate in our area of the country, at least for Friday, and the strong storms, even though there was some damage that surrounded us and certainly some serious damage, deadly damage outside of our area. But it looks like it's going to be a beautiful day today.
We're ready to enjoy it.
We are.
Absolutely. I tell you, that's one thing great about Murfreesboro, Rutherford County. There's just so many great ways to enjoy life and so many nice people to enjoy it with.
Well, that's true. We've got a beautiful place to call home. There's a lot of recreational opportunities here, and I know I heard something yesterday where they were having some meetings, I think, to look at the future of the Greenway and the Blueway and all of those things that are tied to parks and recreation, and I know they're on your show pretty often and talk about all those things, so that certainly adds to the quality of life in our community, as does the university and our business and commercial partners. And we like to think that our governments respectively play a important role in that, and believe that they do, and certainly try to improve that every day.
Very definitely. Well, what is, as you look at this past month, it's been about a month since we have had you on, any exciting developments with the Murfreesboro Police Department?
Well, I think we're, as is always the case, we're 2 months into the new year now. 2011 was a busy year for us, and in fact we're getting ready to produce and publish our annual report. We hope to have it finished by the end of this week, and I'm always struck, I suppose you'd say, when we look back over the volume of work that the police department produces on an annual basis. And some of this information we talked about at the first of the year when we released our crime statistics for the Part 1 crime numbers for 2011, but when you look at the quantity and quality of work that's done by our officers every day and our public safety dispatchers, it's pretty awe-inspiring, really. Over 101,000 calls for service last year, which averages out to about 277 calls for service a day. We are the highest volume public safety answering point in Rutherford County for 911 calls that come through our dispatch center. So certainly our police officers, our dispatchers, all of our support staff personnel are busy all throughout the year, not only providing responses to calls for service, but then just handling the ongoing operations that are required to keep a modern police department working. And I think we hosted or provided something in the neighborhood of 25,000 hours of training for our police officers and other police officers in the Middle Tennessee area last year. So that's a big part of what we do. Certainly a lot of public education programs with DARE and our new gang resistance education and training program, great. Citizens Police Academy, Neighborhood Watch programs. It's a busy operation. There's a lot going on there every day.
I think people don't realize what the Murfreesboro Police Department offers, not only to our community, but to other communities. And you mentioned about the educational programs that not only our own officers learn from, but other communities send their police in, which says a lot about the quality of the Murfreesboro Police Department. I'll come in and I'll see police cars in the city parking lot from other distant counties. And this is on a regular basis.
Well, it is. And one of the things that we take very seriously, we are the depending on whose population chart you want to look at, we're the fifth or the sixth largest city in the state of Tennessee. And we take for granted sometimes that because of that and because of how very supportive our community has been, our mayor and council has been, our city management staff has been, to provide us with opportunities for training, career development training for our police officers and all of our employees. You know, I won't say we take that for granted, but that becomes the standard. Agencies that surround us, particularly smaller police departments, and you have to remember that still in the United States of America, the average police department is probably 10 employees or less. So those folks are looking on an annual basis for in-service training requirements. They have to attain mandatory training that's required by the Tennessee Peace Officer Standards and Training Commission. And then hopefully what we do in an in-service training environment, much like teachers do, is provide annual refresher classes and things that hopefully expand the basis of knowledge and experience for our police officers so that they're better able to take on the challenges that they face in their average daily duties. So we feel like being fifth or sixth largest city that we have a responsibility to give back to provide access to training at our facilities for those law enforcement agencies, whether they be police departments or sheriff's departments that surround us. And we have a lot of people that come in here about 35 weeks out of the year to receive some kind of training. Last week we hosted a crisis intervention team training, which is a pretty new initiative. It's about 18 months old and really deals with training police officers and preparing them to deal with elderly patients, in some cases, people with mental illnesses, people that may become lost or separated from, you know, where they live, and come into contact with the police. But even more importantly than that, people who have a mental illness that may come into contact with the police. And what we're trying to do is prepare our police officers and our sheriff's deputies and other practitioners to recognize the unique opportunities that we have there to effectively interact with those patients, those individuals, and get them the help that they need without necessarily introducing them into the criminal justice system and them ending up in the jail. So last week we had, I think, 35 to 40 people here for a crisis intervention team training, and they came from all over the state. Just one example of that outreach, if you will, and the attempt that we have to try to provide training not only for our officers and do it at home so that it's cost effective and those officers don't have to travel so far, but also to share those training opportunities with others around us. We're really excited that later this year, for the first time, we are going to host the Northwestern staff of police, the police staff and command course here, which is one of the highest level leadership development courses for law enforcement individuals. That course historically was held in Evanston, Illinois, and you had to travel up there, and it was 10 or 12 weeks. Some years ago, they began hosting it, the Highway Patrol did it in Nashville, and they're actually going to host another version of that class this year there as well. But we're actually going to host one of those training courses here this year, which not only gives us a better opportunity to develop upcoming leaders, but it gives other law enforcement agencies in the surrounding area an opportunity to come here and get that kind of high-quality training at a reduced cost without having to travel so far and hopefully incur some of the additional costs that would make that cost prohibitive for a local law enforcement agency. So that's a big part of what we do. We have great people that facilitate that every day. And one of those things that goes on behind the scenes that the average citizen doesn't see, but that's a critical part of not only preparing our officers for the challenges that they face now, but also the challenges and the opportunities that they'll face tomorrow and in the future.
And, you know, I'm sure the Chamber of Commerce is not looking at it this way, but as you were talking about 35 weeks out of the year, you have officers here training. That also is keeping them here for food, for overnight stays in some cases. You're in improving the economy here.
Well, certainly, and we are always excited about having people come into the city, and the other thing that happens too, in addition to all of the things that you just mentioned, it becomes a recruiting tool in some cases for Murfreesboro Police and Rutherford County law enforcement, particularly when you have officers that maybe are working in smaller agencies that just simply don't have the opportunities to do the things or benefit from the kinds of employment situations that we're able to offer or that the sheriff's office is able to offer. And when they're in here for some of those training opportunities, they oftentimes like what they see, and they want to be a part of that. And so we don't intend it to be a recruiting tool, but in many cases it becomes one.
So we're able to get the best of the best that are out there.
Well, we're fortunate in that way. If I think in the most recent cycle, application cycle, and we're in the process of going through that now, we had three or four police vacancies that we were trying to fill, and it's not unusual for us to have 300 plus applicants for a very small number of positions. And certainly the university adds to that because of the criminal justice program here, the forensics program here. And obviously with the fact that our country's been in military conflict now for a number of years, we have a lot of military veterans that come out and are looking for paramilitary type employments after their military careers are over. And so we benefit from that, but we are very fortunate with a strong applicant pool, always have been and continue to be. And I think a lot of that has to do with the reputation of our city, our county, and certainly local law enforcement. We've been very blessed with a strong reputation for excellence for many, many years.
Let's talk a little more about the issue that you brought up earlier, dealing with the number of cases in which a person is mentally challenged or has some areas of concern in that particular disease area. I know Sheriff Arnold has talked about it several times, about there's not a whole lot that we can do for those people. Mm-hmm. We don't have that many facilities, mm-hmm. At least not in Rutherford County, but there is one being built right now while we're talking over on Thompson Lane, near, right across from the hospital. Mm-hmm. Will that help in great number? I mean, will that help you a lot with some of the challenges you face in the law enforcement area?
I've seen and was familiar with some of the early discussion about that facility, but I have to say that I don't know 100% what kind of services they're going to provide or what kind of patient they would be able to assist at that location. But I think one of the things that we look at, and Sheriff Arnold is right, I think it depends on the patient, the individual patient, what their needs are, and what they may have done that have brought them into contact with law enforcement. Certainly, one of the things that we don't want to do, and one of the things that we're attempting to do with the crisis intervention team training, is to identify those individuals who may not have a criminality about them. They may not have criminal intent. They may not want to commit criminal violations or criminal behavior. But because of their illness, they've come to the attention of citizens who may have reported them to law enforcement. And then the question becomes how best to provide the level of care that they need without having to introduce them into the detention center, into the criminal justice system, charge them with criminal violations, and so forth and so on. And I think that, I have to profess my ignorance about exactly what population the facility on Medical Center Parkway is looking for. As I recall, it seems like they were trying to provide some level of inpatient service. And if that's the case, and if that provides an additional facility to help with the existing services that we have from the Guidance Center, Middle Tennessee Mental Health, and other facilities like that, then I think that'll be a good thing. The main thing I think that we have to keep our eye on is how best to identify and provide the correct level of service to those citizens that we come into contact with that have legitimate mental illness issues and that don't need to be criminalized or institutionalized in a criminal justice facility because of that.
And I guess this problem is appearing more and more these days, not necessarily because it is a growing problem, although the population grows and that segment would grow also, but I think people have to realize we no longer have state institutions or anything of that sort that focuses on the care of persons with these challenges. I mean, we used to have different organizations in the state that this was their job, to help these people through life, to help them in any way mm-hmm. possible, and those organizations are gone.
Well, I think some of that's changing, and certainly I'm not the authority on it, but I think some of that's changing as we see healthcare change, and particularly long-term healthcare, given the fact that certainly healthcare costs in this country are an ongoing issue, and when you have a situation where somebody may have a chronic mental illness or a chronic problem that's going to require inpatient care for a long period of time, maybe for a lifetime, I think one of the things that the state has to do and that the government has to do as a whole is look at what are the best options in patient care given the particular circumstances of that individual's condition and their health situation, and to try to deliver the very best of care that we can at a cost that we can all afford. And I think that's one of the things that we continue to grapple with, and not only on the local and state level, but certainly at the national level. And mental illness, I think, is one factor in that. And I'd say that I would leave, you know, a more in-depth study of that to the people that are much more knowledgeable than myself. The only thing that I say is it becomes an issue that law enforcement faces on a semi-frequent basis because whether it's because of a homeless population or some kind of a situation where behavior brings them into contact with the police, we are searching for the best ways to try to serve those individuals and protect the population at the same time. So we're working hard at that and feel good about where we're going with our crisis intervention team process.
Our guest this morning is Murfreesboro Police Chief Glenn Crispin. We're going to check on the traffic and weather, and as we approach the next segment of the program, that's the one where we open the phone lines. So if you have any questions dealing with law and order right here in Murfreesboro, call us, 893-1450. The phone line is now officially open, 893-1450. We'll be right back.
Waiting round the bend, my huckleberry friend, river and
when the weather's at its worst, we're at our best. Talk Radio WGNS, Murfreesboro, FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, TV 11.
Well, the results are in. The Ford Explorer and the Ford Fusion are the most dependable cars on the market. That according to J.D. Power and Associates. Right now you can buy the Ford Explorer and the Ford Fusion at Ford of Murfreesboro. Stop by Ford of Murfreesboro today and drive one. They're at 1550 Northwest Broad Street. That's the intersection of Broad and Northfield. FordofMurfreesboro.com. Try the Ford Fusion and the Ford Explorer today.
Hello, I'm Greg Tidwell from Bell Jewelers. We are offering free exterior cleaning and time checks on all fine timepieces by our two watch technicians. Come in this month for your free cleaning and time check.
Hello, this is Lisa Halliburton. We don't have 8 great locations. There's just one Bell Jewelers. And just because we're not one of the big chains doesn't mean you can't get good values at Bell Jewelers.
Visit Bell Jewelers on Broad across from Toots. Family Staffing Solutions.
I had a very serious accident. I had Family Staffing come to me, and they have reached out. They have touched me in every way that they possibly could touch my heart.
Family Staffing Solutions, personal care assistance at its best.
It's an opportunity for all of us to enjoy the aging process.
That's Becky Buchner with Family Staffing Solutions, 143 Uptown Square, 848-6774, online at familystaffing.com.
Quality automotive repair service and repair at honest, fair prices. Roberts Discount Auto Repair.
on Broad Street, across from Ford of Murfreesboro. Call 896-1407. We care, and we're here to help.
Good morning. Still lots of traffic on I-24 westbound, especially around the Bell Road exit, Old Hickory Boulevard exit, Harding Pike exit. Also, we've got traffic easing a bit in Murfreesboro this morning as folks start to make their way through that area. We've also got traffic easing a bit on Broad at Memorial, which is one of the busier intersections in the entire state. National Flight Training, turn your dream of flying to reality. Call National Flight Training at 366-9192 or go online to nationalflighttraining.com. I'm Randy O'Brien with traffic on WGNS.
Thank you, Randy. What about that Murfreesboro weather? Brought to you by First National Bank of Murfreesboro.
We'll have plenty of sunshine across the forecast area for today. Highs will be in the low 70s. We'll have a south wind feeling breezy. Cloudy skies for tonight. I'm WGNS staff meteorologist Mandy Fallhuber. Right now, 54.
This is Frieda Morgan at First National Bank of Murfreesboro. We offer checking that comes with a free check card, free mobile and internet banking, as well as free bill payer service. First National Bank of Murfreesboro, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
The latest local news, weather, swap and shop, good neighbor events, and more is at your fingertips. WGNSradio.com. WGNS Murfreesboro.
Break your heart. He don't love you like I love you. He's trying to tear us apart.
Welcome back. Our number is 893-1450. 893-1450. Murfreesboro Police Chief Glenn Chrisman is our guest this morning. And the lines are open now for your questions dealing with law and order here in the heart of Tennessee. And let's go to the phones. 893-1450. Good morning. You're on WGNS with Chief Glenn Chrisman. How are you today?
Doing well, thank you.
Very good, thank you.
I'm going to ask the Chief, why is it so difficult to keep the repeat offender burglars jailed? But most of these guys, they're career burglars. That's how they make their living. And as soon as they get out, it ain't hardly a day goes by that they don't start breaking in more houses again.
Mm-hmm.
So, in my opinion, the best thing to do is to keep them locked up. And especially when they look at the record and see that they got a history of it, of multiple break-ins. And most of these guys, they didn't just wake up one day and decide to be a burglar. They've been doing it. Like I said, most of them make their living this way. So best thing to do is for them to stay locked up indefinitely. I'm not saying giving them a life sentence, but I think they ought to, be a little bit tougher on them, especially the ones that's got a mile-long record that's broke in all kinds of houses and stole all kinds of stuff. And I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
Thank you for your call, and I think you echo the sentiments of a lot of people, not only in law enforcement, but probably across our community in Murfreesboro and Rutherford County and its other cities as well. I know recently we arrested an individual that fit exactly that profile. He'd just gotten out of prison or hadn't been out of prison long for those kinds of crimes and had committed some of the same things again, and we'd been able to working with the county, I think there were some burglaries that had been committed in the city of Murfreesboro and some in the county, and this individual was linked to all of those, and he was arrested and remains locked up pending the adjudication of those cases. To your question, I think that our district attorney and our judges work as diligently as they can to recognize those situations and to seek the toughest sentences that they can for people that are involved in burglaries and other thefts. But you have to keep in mind that one of the things that they're balancing that off against is obviously burglary is a serious crime, and it's a particularly serious crime if you're the victim of a burglary and somebody has invaded your space, come into your house, and stolen your personal belongings. There's a real sense of victimization there, and I think we all understand and appreciate that. But having said that, obviously there are classifications of crime that are more serious and more dangerous than that. Things like robbery, rape, aggravated assault with weapons, vehicular homicide, certainly murder, and the various classifications of homicide that we have there, criminal drug enterprises that involve oftentimes aggravated assaults and murders and other things. So I think that one of the real challenges that the judges and our district attorneys, our correction system has, is trying to come up with a way to keep the most serious offenders incarcerated for the longest periods of time so that they can't prey on innocent citizens. And one of the things that happens is burglary, while it's serious, is a lesser serious crime. It's not as violent a crime as some of those other things that I just mentioned, and so the priority is placed on keeping those people in prison longer. And we try to do the very best we can with burglars and other property crime suspects, but that's one of the challenges that we face. But we're trying to do the very best we can, and if they're career criminals, if they're recidivists, then we want them in jail for as long as they can be there, and keep those very violent offenders there as well.
So is the solution then to get our state legislators to create laws that would make it mandatory for their sentences to be held out completely instead of giving pardons to
Well, that's an option, and that seems like a reasonable solution. But one of the things that we deal with and that our legislators deal with is if you put a bill in the legislature that says that if you've been convicted of burglary so many times, there's an indeterminate sentence, and you're going to do 20 years day for day like you do in the federal system sometimes, then the fiscal reality of that is there's always going to be a fiscal note attached to that bill, and the offices that look at all of those long-term costs are going to project what it would cost to keep people locked up for the rest of their lives or for 20 or 30 years, depending on what that determinate sentencing is. And at the end of the day, that's got a dollar amount on it, which means either building more prisons, building more detention facilities, and factoring the cost of operating those into the state's recurring budget. And that's one of the things that we all have to deal with in terms of where we want to spend our money.
Our phone number is 893-1450. Good morning. You're on WGNS with Chief Glenn Crismond.
Yes, I have a question. I'd just like to know how in this world can you justify the force that was used on that poor man who evidently was beaten by a mistaken identity? And I'll hang up and listen.
Good question. I appreciate your call. I think the sad reality is that there are situations that happen on occasions where a suspect may be identified in connection with an ongoing crime, and it may be a misidentification in some situations. And in this case, there was a description that was broadcast that the suspect we were looking for in this flight from police that ended up being a violent felony suspect was a black male, and unfortunately Mr. Sushak was seen running from the direction of the foot pursuit that we were engaged in after this subject crashed his vehicle into a Rutherford County Sheriff's car and ran on foot. Mr. Sushak was detained and was handcuffed, and he was injured in that process. We've apologized for that. That was a mistake. We're sorry for that, and I think the difficult part of that is when you make those kinds of mistakes, you have to take ownership of them, and we've done that. I don't think the officers had any malice for Mr. Sushak. I think they had a violent, fleeing felony suspect that they were trying to apprehend, and unfortunately Mr. Sushak was apprehended in the process. So we're sorry for that mistake, and I'm sure that we will make every effort we can to correct that. There are some training things that we will address connected to that. Unfortunately, the business of policing and the business of trying to arrest violent fleeing offenders is not always a simple process. And We're human. We make mistakes. And I think when you do, you have to own those mistakes, make corrections where you need to, and you move forward. And that's what we'll do here.
Our phone number is 893-1450, 893-1450. And this has nothing to do with our conversation, but it is something our community needs to be aware of. This information I heard this morning on our newscast, Murfreesboro resident Ken Shipp passed away yesterday.
Oh, my goodness.
He is 83, a former college and NFL coach. What a great man. I tell you, he
really was. A great philanthropist who had done much for our city and MTSU and athletic programs there, and he certainly will be missed.
Very definitely.
Certainly will be missed.
Ken Shipp, just a phenomenal person here. As you say, will be missed. The funeral arrangements are being handled by Jennings and Ayers. I don't believe that they have been finalized yet. So this occurred yesterday. Just wanted to pass that along and let you know. Our phone number is 893-1450, 893-1450. You can look outside. You see flowers starting to blossom. The trees are coming out. Many of the Bradford pears are just gorgeous right now. Spring is definitely in the air. And with springtime comes an opportunity to have your driveways repaired, a need for roof repairs, things of that sort.
Gutters cleaned.
Gutters cleaned. Not always. You've been there and done it, right?
I think we all have if we have trees around us.
And unfortunately, not always reputable people come by to say, I want to fix your driveway or whatever.
And that may be a problem, and I certainly don't want to take anything away from those hardworking business people that are trying to make a living and trying to provide for themselves and their families. One of the things that we always want to say to folks on this radio show as spring approaches, and whether we like it or not, I think spring has made an early arrival. I know I heard the other day that the tree pollen was about 60 days ahead of where it would normally be because of the warm temperatures that we've had. I just hope our listeners will be informed consumers as a part of what we try to do here. Make sure if you have people that come by and want to provide any of those services that you described just a minute ago, if they want to seal your driveway, if they want to clean your gutters, if they want to paint the outside of your house, if they want to look at your roof and make any kinds of repairs that you may need outside your home, be a little diligent before you engage them or employ them. Ask for some references. Make sure that they're reputable enough that if you have problems with the services that they've provided, that there's a way for you to get back in touch with them, have them come back and make good on the things that they told you they were going to do before they began the service. We have oftentimes, particularly in the spring of the year, we'll have people that will engage or employ people to do work for them, and then they're not happy with it, and they try to get back in touch with those folks and have them come back to make repairs or make good on their promises, and they either can't get in touch with them, or if they do, they're never responsive back to their complaints, and then that sets up a situation where they may feel like they've been defrauded. So a little due diligence on the front end is always good advice. Again, not to take anything away from those honest, hardworking people that are trying to do good work and make a living, but let the buyer beware, as is always the case when you're looking at those kinds of spring cleanups, spring repairs outside. And as this weather continues to warm, I think it's 70 today is what the forecast is. We're all going to be outside looking at paint, looking at gutters, looking at roofs, looking at flower beds, looking at landscaping and all those kinds of things. And just do your homework before you spend money with people that you may not know.
Good morning. You're on WGNS with Murfreesboro Police Chief Glenn Crisman.
How you doing?
Good morning.
Great. Good morning.
Can I ask you a question?
Absolutely.
I had a person call, a police call me this yesterday, and they said they had, I believe it's a, I don't know, it's a little boy and a little girl lost, and they knew where they're at. I guess they knew where they're at. They're trying to find them, but I don't know where they're, I don't know what's over here on Leaf Avenue. I don't know where they're at.
Mm-hmm.
Or I hear it. Mercury Boulevard. Did they ever find them?
I'm not sure about the particular ones that you are talking about. I
it's a little boy and a little girl.
Mm-hmm. And they were reported missing yesterday. And
yes, sir.
You got a call. You get a call from the police department?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I'm not sure at this particular moment, but I'll get an answer to your question, and we'll get that out before we go off the air.
I mean, I don't know. They look like they was very concerned, and if I knew anything about it, if I'd find them, I would call them, but I hadn't found them.
Okay. All right. Well, if you hear any additional information, or if there's anything that you need to report to the police, by all means do that. 893-1311 is our non-emergency number. 893-1311, or certainly if it's an emergency, 911. And I'll try to see what I can find out and get a question back or get an answer back for you.
But I don't know. I mean, I don't know what part of the section that looked like to me that they was over in this neighborhood somewhere or another, but I don't know.
I'm
over here on Walnut Street, but
Walnut.
I don't know where they could be.
What time of day was it yesterday, sir?
It was yesterday about between 4 and 4:30, 5 o'clock.
Okay. I'll see what we can find out, and we'll get you an
answer. Now, I don't know what they ever found them or not.
Okay. All right, sir. Thank you for your call.
Yes, sir. You have a good day.
You too.
Okay,
Let's,
bye-bye.
Thank you. Let's go to another line. You're on WGNS with Chief Glenn Chrisman.
Yes. I want to ask you about state troopers.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard the current sheriff and even Truman Jones and say before they've had situations where there wasn't enough deputies or officers to respond to calls in the county. I was wondering, did y'all ever work in connection with the state troopers to get them to answer some of them calls, or are they just a highway patrol only? Because what I understand, the state trooper has a jurisdiction all over the state, hence the name state trooper. Mm-hmm. I always was wondering about that, and I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. It's two parts to the question. We can get the highway patrol or the state troopers to help us with local operations when we need them, and we've utilized them for large events or targeted enforcement efforts, whether it's seatbelt roadblocks, DUI roadblocks, crime interdiction kinds of operations that we've had, parades, large events. Typically, the Tennessee Highway Patrol is responsible for the investigation of crashes and the enforcement of traffic laws on state roads. And because of the fact that obviously their resources have limits as well, they try to focus those resources on the interstates and those state highways that are outside of municipal areas, and typically try to leave as much local law enforcement to local agencies and local sheriff's departments as they can. But they are very good about responding to requests for assistance when it's needed. For instance, when we had the Good Friday tornadoes, they deployed a team of about 20 state troopers in here that stayed here the whole time while that rescue, recovery, and a cleanup operation was going on. So they're great partners. They're available to help. They normally would not be involved in a call response type of a role unless it was connected to some kind of a larger operation that had a short-term kind of duration. That answers your question.
Our phone number is 893-1450, 893-1450. We're going to check on the weather, and we'll be back and take some more of your calls. There is a line open with your name on it, 893-1450. Call quickly, and you'll be coming up next.
Is on the G-Man coming to you via AM and FM on the Big G, WGNS, Murfreesboro.
Southeastern Tire of Murfreesboro has the right tires for your vehicle. Perhaps you're a rugged individual who enjoys off-roading. They have a tire for you. Or maybe you're a rap star driving around on 26-inch rims. They have a tire for that. You're a mom who's in the carpool lane daily. They have a tire for your minivan. Let's say you're a wealthy trial lawyer who drives a Lamborghini. Yes, they have a tire for you too. Maybe you drive one of those new electric vehicles. Hey, they have a tire for you. Southeastern Tire Service has a tire for every personality. They're on Broad Street, a tire or two away from Chevy of Murfreesboro.
Family Staffing Solutions.
They've given me back a new life. There are truly people in this world that care about the elderly.
Family Staffing Solutions. Personal care assistance at its best.
This is not a high-pressure business. We want you to be very happy when you agree to do business with us.
That's Becky Buchner with Family Staffing Solutions.
When you need that help, it's there for the asking.
143 Uptown Square, 848-6774. Online at familystaffing.com.
Heritage South Community Credit Union now has a new home, 839 West College Street near Jennings Tire.
This is Darlene Robinson, branch manager. I invite you to visit us soon and find out what your community's credit union is all about. We offer free debit cards and great checking, plus exceptional rates on loans and savings. You can join if you live, work, worship, or attend school in Rutherford, Bedford, or Marshall County.
Heritage South Community Credit Union, new offices at 839 West College Street near Jennings Tire. Federally insured by the NCUA.
WeatherEye.
We'll have plenty of sunshine across the forecast area for today. Highs will be in the low 70s. We'll have a south wind feeling breezy. Cloudy skies for tonight. I'm WGNS staff meteorologist Mandy Thaluber. Right now, 54.
Over the years, I've encouraged you to save at Bell Furniture. Many of you have called me and said, you're right. They do have first quality name brand furniture at about half the price you pay at other stores. They have the comfortable catnapper recliner. This has both the heat and massage unit. Regular $899, but just $599 at Bell Furniture. Save with Perry Bell and Linda Ferris at Bell Furniture. 1517 the New Nashville Highway, halfway between Murfreesboro and Smyrna.
You thought you knew how to stretch a buck, you got to hear this guy, Clark Howard.
Join me Monday through Saturday middays on WGNS, Rutherford County's place to talk.
Is our number, 893-1450. Murfreesboro Police Chief Glenn Chrisman is our guest this morning, and he's here answering your questions. Glenn, did you, I know you were talking with the folks over at the police department just a moment ago.
Don't have it yet. Hopefully we'll get it before we go off. Okay. They're checking on it.
Let's go to the phones again. You're on WGNS with Glenn Chrisman. How are you today?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
Doing great, thank you.
Good morning.
I'm wondering, people keep talking, they're trained, and this and that and the other. You know, I happen to know different. A whole lot different. Our people in America, in the state of Tennessee, in Murfreesboro, Tennessee included, would not be suffering. We've got more health agencies. We've got more psychiatrists. We've got more medications. We've got more mental people. We've got more criminals. We've got everything more of. But we don't have more legal services. And there is a Middle Tennessee Legal Services that ought to go out of business. That'd take off some of the government help right there that they're supposed to lend. Mm. And these people can get put away for life, condemned for being mentally ill, and not have any legal representation whatsoever. And I happen to be a victim for many years, and I don't mind saying it. It's my God and I that stand together, or I wouldn't be as far along as what I am. And I happened to have been married to a 1946 Murfreesboro police officer dispatcher. And I have seen, when I was a child, not as much as is being seen today. And I'm a Murfreesboro native. And I have seen things that I would not even say that policemen, nurses, and doctors have seen and known about.
That's some good points. What can be done? Or this is just a changing society, I guess, too. People are different from what they used to be.
Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things that the caller talks about is legal services and legal aid. I know there are some services that are available here through legal aid societies and those kinds of things. Obviously, one of the things that we have now that we did not have when I was a young police officer coming along was the Office of the Public Defender. So that, you know, there's a staff of attorneys and an office that has been created to provide for public defense for people that can't afford legal representation, particularly in criminal matters. And I think that's an ongoing challenge. I think it's legal representation is something that you would hope is available to every citizen. Sometimes people obviously don't want to take advantage of that or don't feel like they need to. But where they need it, I think, during the adjudication of criminal activities, certainly a judge is always going to try to seek or make sure that legal services are provided for defendants, whether they can afford it or not, either through the public defender's office or pro bono services or whatever. And I know that the Rutherford County Bar Association and I believe the Tennessee Bar all have sponsored and worked diligently to make legal aid programs available. I know they've been on your radio show on several occasions and talked about free clinics and things where people could come for legal assistance as they needed it. So it's like it is, I think, with a lot of other things. There's still more work to be done, and there are probably underserved populations that I think we continue to try to provide an outreach and extend services when we can.
And I believe a group of attorneys meets regularly, perhaps Thursday afternoons, and I need to check this out, over at Greenhouse Ministries and offers advice to people who need legal advice.
I'm pretty sure you're correct about that.
Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you today?
Yes, sir. I might live here at Blackman.
Yes, sir.
And say in city limits are here at Blackman. And there's motorcycles come up down through here running wide open.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a little red truck and they tailgating people. So, I mean, I don't know what to say, but I think the police need to do something about that.
Okay. Can you give me a good location on... you say out in Blackman, can you give me a street and maybe a...
It's right here at Blackman. You know where Blackman store is?
Yes, sir.
Okay, Blackman Grocery's right there, all the way down. That many people comes there about 4:30, 5 o'clock of an evening, and I mean flying and just tailgating people.
Okay, so if I'm at the Blackman store, are they headed back toward Berkshire or back toward... the interstate there.
They're heading back towards Smyrna.
Okay.
So I might, you know, I don't know. I mean, y'all can do something. I don't know. I mean, I ain't the police.
Okay. Motorcycles traveling fast and a red truck. Did you say that's tailgating?
Yes, it's a Dodge Ram pickup truck, and they just eating people's back door up.
Okay, we'll take a look at that. Thank you for your call.
Well, thank you.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. We have just a few seconds left in the program. I know that there was some conversation about noise enforcement. We're in that time of the year. People driving around with their windows open on their cars. Mm-hmm. In about 20 seconds, can you tell us?
Well, just very quickly, one of the things that we continue to have brought to our attention is noise not only from loud stereos but also from exhausts. Particularly related to motorcycles and these little road racer type cars, we are placing an emphasis on noise enforcement from not only stereos but also exhaust systems. So if you're using one of those vehicles, tone it down some, and if not, you may be getting a visit from your local Murfreesboro police officer.
And on that note, we thank Murfreesboro Police Chief Glenn Chrisman for joining us this morning.